And welcome to the Week 7 NFL Watch Party. I am your host, Jason. And with me, as always, is my boy, my friend, my confidant, my secret man slave at Dirty Jobs 21.
I thought you were talking about Eli right there. I was like, damn, dude, that's deep. Like, he likes you more than he likes me, Eli. How are we doing this evening, guys?
Well, so you're my man slave. Eli's your man slave.
I wouldn't go there. Wouldn't go there.
Eli came on because he knew we were doing undercarriage talk again this week, so he wanted
to get that right away.
Yeah, he was mad he didn't get it on that last week. So
broke my heart.
So with us also is Eli. He's our producer, usually behind the scenes. He was wearing such a cool shirt. He had to be on the show. The Catalina wine mixer.
Fucking Catalina wine mixer.
Yeah.
Is there a better movie than Step Brothers?
There's hardly a more quotable movie than Step Brothers, I guarantee it. So we're here to talk to you guys about what you guys need from a Monday night game that features the Bears and the Rams. What we got wrong yesterday, which
you went full on robot, buddy.
Did I? All right. So I'm not sure where I went robot, but we're here.
Like right away, you're like, ding, bom, 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 down. Like I started even dancing there for a second.
Domo arigato, Mr. Robot. No, right? All right, so we were going to talk to you guys about what you need on a Monday night between the Bears and the Rams. We want to talk to you guys about what we got wrong yesterday, what you got wrong yesterday, what other people got wrong yesterday. We want to just kind of get an idea from you guys where the fantasy industry let you down. So give us a call, type us up in YouTube, on Twitch, and let us know. Before we get started, wanted to mention you can catch all of Sleeper Wire's content on at Sleeper Wire Show or sleeperwire.com. We got all kinds of cool stuff, new articles day in and day out from our amazing writers, something that Steve SPAC21 on Twitter is heading up. We've got an amazing stable of writers that puts out great content every week. I want to mention we've got a really awesome Sleeper Wire swag shop now. I keep petitioning to get a Sleeper Wire thong. And I see Hoos in there, our boss Hoos in the chat. He's watching. Hoos, I know you have the power to do it. Pull the trigger, man. Let's get that thong going. I want to mention that we are always happy to mention Pristine Auction, where you can get autographed sports memorabilia, authentic awesome sports memorabilia. You know, George and I run a lot of charity leagues, and every prize we get, we buy from Pristine Auction because it's the industry standard in authentic sports memorabilia. So we love the guys over at Pristine Auction. They support us, and we want you guys to support them. So with that said, Mike, Eli, what are you looking forward to in tonight's game? Do you guys need anything in tonight's game to get that win?
As long as Allen Robinson doesn't have two rushes that he fumbles and gets -6 yards, I am fine in the one contest that's still kind of up in the air. I should be good. I think if Goff scores 40 points, I lose my FPC league, but can't do much about that. So I'm just sitting back and enjoying tonight.
I could really use David Montgomery to catch a case of COVID in the next about 10, 15 minutes here. That would be great because I think I've got this guy beat by like 3 points. And he has David Montgomery still to go. So pretty sure I'm just going to chalk that one up as a loss. Unless, of course, COVID. I mean, hey, it's 2020. Come on, COVID.
I honestly need the Rams defensive line to catch a case then because I need David Montgomery to blow up to win in Scott Fishbowl. I don't think it's going to happen, but.
No, okay. I'm willing to give the Rams. I'm willing to give my COVID energy to the Rams for that. Dude, Scott Fishbowl's a big win. My win's not that big. Who cares about my win? I think I'm like 1 in that league anyways or 5-1.
I mean, you're only talking about 3 points. I need a bunch. So, like, neither one of it's really realistic.
How many are we talking about?
Five.
I think the Monkey Knife Fight fantasy point line was 14.5 on him. So are we talking like a 20 or a 30-point game? What do you need?
I think I need around 18 or 19. I have to go look to see what the exact number is. But it's not unrealistic in general. It just based on the way he's played this year, it's pretty unrealistic.
I would bet the under on that, by the way.
I would. You know, if I had the ability to go back and bet the under and not take him, I probably would do that.
I'm confident. I took the over on that 13 or 14-point line on Monkey Knife Fight. With how many targets he's been getting since Cohen went out, he is just great. He's been producing. He's been getting five catches a game and all of the rushing work. No one's vulturing from him. I think your chances are great.
I appreciate that. Listen, I've got one guy on this side of me who is an optimist. He's a glass half full guy. I got Mike over here in the shadows. He's a glass half empty kind of guy. and we're going to go with glass half full every single time. Plus, I have to mention that shirt again. Hey, who's? Can we sell Catalina Wine Mixer shirts on our swag shop? I don't think we own the copyright there, but you know what? I don't care.
Like Sleeper Wire Lena, no. Sleeper no, Cat Lena. We got to figure some way to like change it, and then we can do whatever we want.
You know, we'll figure that out. We got smart guys that talk to us about our show after the show. So so Mike, I do want to start a segment. I think we did it last week of what your biggest miss this week was. So to put you on the spot and have you go first, what's your biggest miss this week?
Probably James Robinson. I think I was telling people I didn't expect much out of him yesterday. But then I think I turned around and I said, and since we've been so down on him, I'm going to play him on daily today.
You did.
And so I did, and I'm very happy I did. And it's how it came down. That's how it worked out. He had a huge game. That game was a big high scoring contest, and I didn't really see that coming out of either side there either. So it was good to see him staying and getting back in that form and kind of battling back against what I thought was possibly some defensive coordinators figuring him out. But he still has a lot of tests to pass before I'm really fully on board with the guy.
And I agree with that. I think I read a thing in PPR. He's got the second most points for of any running back. So I guess saying don't play him was probably a bad idea. But I did the same exact thing you did, and I'm gonna bring up. Oh yeah, so we've got to pick up. We've got to talk about Captain Daly. But first, I want to mention at BFTGO. Is this where I come to complain? You're in my bedroom, so this is usually where you complain and come. But I don't know if I should be. I mean, look at Eli. Eli's reevaluating his life right now.
He's like, "What did I get myself into here?"
He really is. And thanks, George, for just backing up what I said. Welcome to 2 minutes ago. I know there's a delay, man. Don't at me. I do want to mention that you can give us a call at 205-797-5337 or 205-79-SLEEP if you want to call into the show. And then George, this bedroom has seen such disappointment. I mean, my parents owned it before I did, so you don't even know. It probably saw me get conceived. So,
oh my, that's probably right where you did.
I mean, not literally this bed because we bought our own, but yeah, I mean the bed was right here.
Yeah.
So,
that's rough.
I mean, two generations of disappointments conceived right in this. Anyway, I love my kids. So we're moving on from that. I see Al's in the chat. He's
what up, Al?
He's laughing and sculling, and I guess Al couldn't be on. But I do want to talk about Captain Daly. We talked about him on Sunday. I was going to see if Mike remembered his name, but it's Marquise. Was it Callaway from New Orleans? From the Saints?
Yeah, Marquez Callaway.
Yeah, so. We actually recommended to Curtis to start Marquez Callaway over God. I can't even remember the name of the guy who it was in a deep, like 16 team league. And it was Marquez Callaway or
it was the Bud Light guy.
or the Bud Light guy, and we picked Callaway, and I think he got Curtis in a PPR 10 points. So, you know, if you're digging that deep to get a start, man, 10 points out of
I think better than that. I think maybe, he was like 6 for 70 or something like that.
He had a touchdown called back too, which, man, would have really made Curtis's day. Can you imagine if that didn't get called back on penalty?
Right. As I was like, dude, we almost just blew it up with that one.
So I'm expecting they've got guys that are still starting, like Emmanuel Sanders, because maybe, you know. So I don't know, man. Like that was a call that, I mean, put it on Curtis, though, because he had the guy, right?
Right. Yeah, that was awesome.
And I'd like to take credit for a lot of Curtis's wins, especially after Sunday morning when he asked us 40 questions. So I love to take credit for Curtis's wins, but I've never mentioned that guy in my life.
Eight for 75. Yep.
So that's a solid 15 points in PPR in that depth of the league.
That's a good day, man. That's a hell of a good day.
He had to have won. We'll find out Sunday.
We certainly will.
So, Eli, I know you weren't on the Blitz with us, but what call did you make this weekend? What guy did you start that really fucked you?
So I almost got cut from a guillotine league due to running the Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs stack in addition to the Mike Evans play.
Oof.
Between the three of those guys, I think I had low 20 points. So luckily, I went up against someone who had Cam and DK Metcalf give them absolutely nothing, and that saved my day. But yeah, the Mike Evans play was rough, and Josh Allen, I was thinking he was going to bounce back pretty well here, but 300 yards and no touchdowns was a killer.
Against the Jets, man.
How can you not finish those drives? Something was just always stopping them up. The run game wasn't happening. It was sad.
Penalties, you know. What do we do with Mike Evans?
Drop him.
Do you drop him?
I listen to a certain Twitter account, and I feel like no. I don't think you can drop Mike Evans. I don't think this is a situational thing. Like, there is something that I do not like about Tom Brady, and this is exactly it. Is guess who I'm going to throw to? Guess who I'm going to hand it off to? Guess what I'm going to do today? And it's never the same exact thing twice. And I think that's maybe what makes Tom Brady so good at what he does, is because he can just shift to anybody, do anything. Next week, Scotty Miller is going to be a guy we're talking about that. Why is he even on your bench, right? And he just went off for 80 yards and a touch yesterday as well. And I mean, we're talking about, oh man, I should have started him. I should have, but what am I going to do about Mike Evans? Dude, Mike Evans is obviously a way more elite talent than Scotty Miller. He's even probably up there with Chris Godwin. I think that Chris Godwin is still the best receiver on that team. And even he's seeing like odd low targets for his, what he can do, what he can pull off. Now he's still pulling down Chris Godwin style numbers, but not like we were seeing with like, say, Jameis Winston or anything like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about Tom Brady, and that is his ability to spread the ball on an offense. He'll throw it to 10 different people in one single game, which is amazing for football, amazing for winning. And Tampa Bay is a very – I can tell you this, one thing we learned yesterday, I feel like, and I this argument just kind of was there, and I feel like we saw a major separation or a major gap in there, was who's better, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? Because Bill Belichick's team looked like a dumpster fire yesterday, and Tom Brady looked just like the elite level quarterback that he's always been. So I think I think they're really missing Tommy in old New England right now.
I think a lot of that goes back to what kind of weapons, and the reason Brady left. Like, Brady would still be there if Bill Belichick had put some talent around him on the field. You know, I know Brady wanted to go prove his name and not be a system quarterback. He's doing a lot of that. But you know, it's tough to win when you're rebuilding, even for the best coach in our lifetime, right? And that team was so devoid of talent. Tom Brady hid a lot of that in every single week. I get your point, especially about spreading the ball. And now that Antonio Brown, there's going to be another mouth to feed a couple weeks from now. You know, the stat I read is that in the three games that Godwin played with Evans on the field, Evans has a total of 12 targets. That's not good from a guy that's gotten 1,000 yards every time he's been in the league. And the one thing that's been covering up for the bad yardage and catch totals is that he's been catching one-yard touchdown passes or two-yard touchdown passes every week from Tom. When they got down in the red zone, they targeted him. Well, Gronk's getting more into football shape. You can see it every week. He's not the Gronk of old, but he's running down the field with a little bit of steam to him now, and he's a hell of a end zone target. You saw it yesterday. Tom Brady threw it a little bit low. It should have gone a little higher. It didn't matter because Gronk towered over the 5'9" defender they had on him. What the hell was that? That matchup was awful.
As he always has, yeah. As he always has.
And he just grabbed it away from the dude's helmet, right? Like, so, you know, I love Mike Evans as a player. He's restructured his deal multiple times for Tampa to make cap space. He's a hell of a team guy. And honestly, he would tell you he couldn't give a shit if he catches the ball. Now, I know he wants to play well, but he'll tell you, I've been on a loser for years. If it means I've got to take a back seat for us to go to the playoffs and win a championship, he's more than willing to do it. But I know he wants to do more than that. It's just it's hard to see where the ball's going to go week in and week out. You even had Tyler Johnson catching another touchdown this week. There's just a lot of options, a lot of weapons, and Brady's not a guy like Jameis Winston who focuses on one wide receiver and one wide receiver only.
Did you catch the quote that Arians had that Peter King reported on saying, Mike Evans never bitches. I love Mike. Today he didn't touch the ball until the fourth quarter, but he just wants to win. Chris Godwin, same way. Gronk, same way. If AB's not that way, then we're going to have a problem. I think it's going to be a different hot hand every week for the rest of the season. With that,
AB, the AB thing, like, I think he's going to get there and he's going to really have his shit together. I think he's going to have his P's and Q's in order. I think they're going to, I think Tampa Bay has a real good shot at winning the Super Bowl this year.
It's hard to think that they don't with that many targets. Can you imagine being down in the end zone and you have to go single coverage on all of those guys? Because what? You're going to put double coverage on Gronk, AB, Chris Godwin? I mean, you'd put double coverage on every single one of those guys if they were on a different team.
Yeah. Right. And honestly, if you go back and watch, that's what they did to Mike Evans yesterday. They did a lot of safety.
And see, and that's one thing that Mike Evans is good at, like, is drawing coverage. You know, I mean, and he knows it. He gets out there, he draws the triple coverage, double coverage, boom, hit Godwin.
Yep. George says Brady has had top five. Well, he said 2-5 defenses every year, but top five. Now, I agree with him here. Like, listen, Tampa's defense is playing well. I think they're number one in the league, which doesn't make sense to me as a Bucs fan. I think that's a little smoke and mirrors. They have played the toughest schedule in the league, so it's not like they've played slouches up to this point. But, you know, you can say he's had top defenses, but in the last five games, he's got 15 touchdowns and one interception. He's playing well on top of the defense, helping them out. So, you know, it's 15 touchdowns, one interception, man, it's just disgusting in a five game span. You know, after Russell Wilson threw three interceptions last night, Tom Brady may be making a case for another MVP.
I completely agree with that. I think he's got what it takes and he's done. He's just, I feel like, what can you do to prove that you're the greatest of all time? You can go to a completely different team and repeat the same results that you've just continued. And honestly, you say that he's always had a top five defense, but Tim Tebow taught me a lot about football, right? Like, when this guy came into the league and when he started as a player on the Broncos, that, I'm telling you, like, the defense played a different football game when Tim Tebow was on the field. Like, he brought this leadership, this thing, this aura, this energy, this thing around him that made this football team very solid. I mean, heck, they went all the way to the second game in the playoffs, which for Tebow in his first year, to me, that was pretty amazing. I can't believe they didn't give the kid a career as a result of all of that. But I digress. It's neither here nor there. But seeing what Tom Brady does, I think that he brings this team up. I mean, he just gets there and he's this huge leader. People want to win with him on their team, and he just brings this whole different dynamic to the team. I don't know. I think Tampa's defense is good because Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady's just this natural, way good leader. And I hate Tom Brady. I hate him. I wish I wasn't saying nice things about him.
So I'll say for sure, and we're talking about the Bucs way too much, which I'm absolutely – I could sit here and talk about them all day. The one thing I can say is, like, in the second quarter – or the third quarter, it got to be 24-20, Bucs up by four after being up by, you know, double digits. And the Raiders made a little mini comeback, but in previous years, I would go, oh, here go the Bucs, and the Raiders would rattle off 30 straight points, and the Bucs would lose, and Tom Brady comes in, and you go, well, oh, yeah, we have Tom Brady. And all he does is cool as a cucumber, just drive him calm, cool, and collective down the field, throws a beautiful pass to Godwin in the end zone, gets another touchdown, and then just trots off the field like he'd been there before.
Yeah.
We are waxing poetic a bit much about Brady. Like, how much of that game do you have to give to the Raiders not getting a full week of practice in? Their offensive line and their whole offense kind of got their practice week screwed up with the whole COVID scare. Do you think it would have been a different game script and a different story if they wouldn't have had Trent Brown being positive?
Maybe and maybe not, and here's what I'll tell you. If you go back and watch Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks ago and you watch the Raiders this week, they both jumped out and scored 10 points right away. The first two drives were really – that offense pushed our defense around, right? Even with all the screw-ups. What I have noticed about the Buccaneers is when they're playing – when that defense plays against a team – has scripted plays where they know who they're going to throw the ball to. They know what plays they're running. They come out and they say, okay, we have two drives of scripted plays. They can be beat. But when these quarterbacks have to figure out the defense that Todd Bowles is throwing at them, and the plays aren't like the ones that they've practiced all week as this is how we're going to run it, this is what it's going to look like, teams have pretty quickly fallen apart after those scripted plays. I think Todd Bowles is doing an amazing job hiding coverages, hiding blitzes, hiding their personnel packages, and the defense is getting to quarterbacks. They don't think they sacked Carr as often as they did 2 weeks ago with Rodgers, but they got in his face and they flustered him. So I think, yeah, I'm sure if your offensive line was healthy, so that makes your team better, right? If you don't have COVID issues with practice, that makes your team better. But I think it fell in line pretty easily with some of the games we've seen before, where once you're out of your scripted plays, like Tampa Bay's defense just did its work. That team's nasty. Yep. I love them top to bottom. Like, it's been a while since I've seen – I mean, this Tampa's never had an offense this good ever. And their defense is playing pretty lights out. Levante David, who had a down game this week, and Devin White are two of the best linebackers in the league, and they're playing at a stellar level. There was this one time Derek Carr put his foot in the ground, decided he was going to try and run for it. White was covering somebody, saw it, came from 15 yards out and just pelted him where Carr got 3 yards, just destroyed him. Man, it's a thing of beauty to watch that type of speed in the linebacker core again. I'm excited because I'm a Tampa fan. We haven't had shit to root for years.
I think you probably offended Trent Dilfer when you said that, just so you know. Trent Dilfer off at you right now.
You know, Trent Dilfer wasn't even the I'm going to say this. Freeman was a better quarterback than Trent Dilfer was. And that's how they did Trent Dilfer's quarterback camp and had him doing that quarterback stuff. And I kept thinking, why? That guy couldn't play fucking quarterback to save his life.
But he can tell you how to.
I mean, he won a championship with the Ravens. So good for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Good for him. Yeah, He got to be a better dude, like, as he moved away from Tampa. You know what I mean? Like, he went on to other teams and got humbled. So good for him. He, you know.
Isn't Tampa, like, living in Tampa usually a low point for most people?
I mean, it's a, so far it's a high point for Mike.
I love it. Yeah, I love Tampa. I mean, but that's coming from Wyoming. So it's kind of like, eh, you know, one out of the fire, out of the frying pan into the fire type thing.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's just Wyoming without coyotes.
Right. And with palm trees.
And with palm trees, yeah.
Okay, lots of palm trees.
Let's see. Tom Brady rushing the passer is a beautiful thing to watch. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
I think he's saying seeing Tom Brady get hit. I don't know.
That's the other thing I can say. Our offensive line played a great game yesterday. Like, I wish I had as good a hair as Tom Brady did in the fourth quarter of that game. He took his helmet, he takes his helmet off, and it's beautifully coiffed, still, like, perfect in the helmet.
You don't want to get on Brady's bad side and get beat. Like, he'll beat you. He'll get his son out on you. Hey, guys, we got a phone call. Caller, you on the line. What's your name? Where you from?
What up, dog?
Y'all all right? You. What's happening, Al? How we doing, buddy?
What's going on, dude?
Well, doing good outside of a loss this week, but we're doing good. How y'all doing?
Hey, did you end up picking up Deontay Johnson like we told you?
You know I did. And, of course, I didn't start him.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Al. Oh, no.
Epic failed there.
Did we tell you to start? I feel like we told you to pick him up and start him, but I can't remember.
I had to go back and watch now, but y'all definitely told me to pick him up, and I picked him up immediately. And I didn't start him because, you know, I was like, okay, see what happens with the injury. And then, of course, blows up and still gets injured. So,
gets injured again. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Chase, I feel like being there the middle of my time, I think I had him on my bench, too.
What did you say, Mike?
I said it sucks because Chase Claypool just became relevant again. Like,
right.
It's just going to be a flip-flop anonymous over there.
Well, and I remember
Juju, though.
Yeah, Juju did okay. I mean, it's tough because he's drawing that coverage and letting these other guys do the work. Sorry, I was trying to watch the game.
Well, my first fantasy football year with Martavius Bryant.
Yeah.
Right. I forgot he existed until you just said that. I used to have Martavius Bryant everywhere, like in every single league.
He was hot my first year. I didn't know nothing about it. I just knew Big Ben threw the ball a lot. That's it. Because I wasn't, you know, I kind of like half-assed watched football then. Because, you know, again, the Lions didn't give me anything to live for. Right. Shout out to the Lions. They won. Thank God.
That was a good win, too.
But, it was.
That was a dirty win.
So I mean, it was lucky as hell is what that was. That was Todd Gurley screwing up is what that was. So I saw a stat. And if I remembered where it was, I'd throw it out there. But I saw a stat that said that the Falcons have lost three games in which – or, no, they've lost four games in which their win probability was 99%. You know how as the game progresses, they get a win probability. They've lost four games this season where their win probability was 99%, and the rest of the league has three losses where their win possibility was 99%. Maybe that may have changed last night after the Seahawks blew the game, but Jesus Christ, that team finds a new way to lose every week.
Man, I feel bad for them because they actually have the talent. Like, we're over here struggling with a couple of decent names. They over there, they got Matty Ice. You know, he's got a nickname. Stafford does not have a nickname. If your QB has a nickname, he should be sweet. I don't know what's happening in Atlanta. I feel bad.
Well, I mean, it was Dan Quinn, and now it's Julio Morris. I mean, you got Julio, you got Calvin Ridley, but you know what it is. Lots of good position players and no good. Your offensive and defensive line's awful. Can't stay healthy. You know, you got to be good in the trenches, and they're not.
Yeah, I mean, they're not able to buy any time. They're not able to get and Matt Ryan's not a guy who really can, like, get creative and get out of the pocket and just – I mean, he used to be a little bit better about that, but he's starting to show a little bit of age, too. He's not getting out as quick. He's not getting out as much. And, I mean, that used to be kind of the ideal thing for Matt Ryan to do, right, is to bail out on the corner and then just huck it to Julio and just throw it, like, within 5 yards of the guy, and Julio would stick his arm out and grab that thing. And it's just kind of like they lost that dynamic. He doesn't do any of that anymore. It's like they're trying to play football, and this team was never designed to play football, if that makes sense. They're designed to just huck it and get ahead, man, and just do it. I mean, they're like Wildcat Kansas State football. You know, get the ball down the field as quick as you can, score as much as you can. And then they all of a sudden get in this mode where they're like, okay, we're up. Now let's go ahead and hit the brakes. And every time they do that, they just get pummeled.
Man, ever since that Super Bowl, I've lost all faith in the Falcons. I put a lot of money that year.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God.
I remember saying it's going to be 21-3 before the Patriots even realize what's going on. And I remember sharing a tweet saying that. Like, and I'm like, I told you, 21-3. I'm like, Atlanta, I knew they were going to destroy them. And then they let off the gas. If they don't let off the gas, that game's 56-0. But they let off the gas and let them frickers back in. And, well, we all know what happened.
I was so excited by that game, that Super Bowl. Oh, I called Magic City to get menu advice for my Super Bowl party. I was getting drink recommendations and menu recommendations from Magic City for that. Oh,
I got to tell you, it happened exactly the way it needed to for Tom Brady to end up in Tampa.
That's
so George mentioned that.
I guess so. It all works out for you.
Listen, it has. I'm calling it. Tom Brady's going to play with us for 2 years. He's going to retire, and you're going to think we're screwed. And then Green Bay is going to move on from Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to be like, you know what? We have no sales tax. Come on, or we have no income tax. Come on down, and we're going to have Rodgers for 2 years until he retires. We're just going to run them through here, just like one after. Listen, we will tailor the team to whatever you want, Mr. Rodgers. Come on down. Oh, gosh.
I was reading an article about that, and like, so a Raiders contract of $30 million or something like that is worth more than a San Francisco contract for like $70 million or something to that effect, or a New York contract of like $65 million. Because they don't have to pay any royalties or anything like that, any luxury tax or the
income tax. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't remember how long. Eli, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I swear to God, I read it like 2 years ago. I couldn't even tell you.
I don't think I've ever heard of state income taxes being that aggressive. Federal is usually where you're paying most of your income taxes. For the large majority of the United States, as far as I know, I could be wrong. I'm not.
Like I said, from what I was reading, because they were saying about how the Raiders, what this article was about how the Raiders are going to get the majority of the talent fast because of the way they're able to structure a contract in Las Vegas as opposed to how you structure a contract anywhere else in the
world. It's beautiful in Nevada. My grandpa, he was a resident in Nevada for many years because he didn't want to pay Utah income taxes, which are next to nothing. The place has amazing tax options because of all that gambling money in there. So it's
I got family out there as well.
So getting into football, Deontay Johnson, George said that Deontay Johnson is the leading Steelers in targets even after missing game two. And, you know, just to throw a stat behind that, that's because his target totals in the three games this year when he didn't leave early was 10, 13, and 15. I mean, he's getting like three games worth of targets three DJ Moore games of targets in one game.
Yeah.
DJ Moore. I do want to mention, like, Mike did mention DJ Moore. I mean, we, to be fair, we all picked him a lot, or at least you and I went against Steve a couple times to get DJ Moore on the field for some guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I did call him DJ Less once, but I can't remember who. But I think that was against Deontay Johnson, so I probably ended up okay there.
I knew it was only going to be a matter of time before he realized that all he had to do was throw it his direction. Like, it's amazing what happens when you start like, oh, I've had this shiny toy this whole time and I didn't even realize it. Do you remember what it was like when you get stuff on Christmas, but you get like 10 different things, right? And so you go play with those 9 other things and you play with those 9 other things for weeks. And then you go and you remember all that 10th thing. So it's like a new Christmas, like a month later, you're like, oh, I totally forgot I got this.
I found out Dirty Jobs is rich on Christmas, getting 10 damn things.
You don't get 10 things on Christmas? What the heck?
Dude, my parents didn't have money, man. I mean, you see the room I'm in.
I thought people that had money got like way more stuff. We didn't have shit.
I'm just kidding. I mean, most of the time my 10th thing was underwear. And right. I completely forgot about that too. I didn't wear that shit.
My parents would take that package apart and give me each of those individually, Jason. That's how we got to 10.
My parents sucked. One year they wrapped my toys in the underwear. So we thought we got all underwear and the toys were inside.
That's too funny.
Oh man, don't you miss getting socks and underwear now that you're older?
One year, I
still get them every year. I still get them from my parents. I've even got them trained because I did the smart thing years and years ago, and I went to, is that a Daryl Henderson touchdown? No. Reynolds. Damn it. Okay, sorry guys, watching the game. So I did something years ago. I threw away all my socks and bought all the same brand socks. I don't have to pair shit up anymore. I just have to pull 2 socks out of a drawer. And I alerted my parents to this situation, and now they get me the same brand socks every year. So all I ever have to do is just reach in the drawer in the dark and grab two socks.
You're a genius.
I just hate doing laundry.
I'm changing my whole sock wardrobe immediately.
Right.
Immediately. Right. Listen, I've got in the back, I've got paired up dress socks, and I've got a pair of Buccaneer socks, and I got some warm socks, you know. But for my day-to-day going to work life, just grabbing 2 socks. You don't have to fold them. You don't have to do the little fold-over thing where the top gets all loose. Screw that crap. 2 socks right out of the drawer. Good to go.
I feel like that's a George Costanza move. Like, he kind of got the look going.
Costanza.
Do you have a voicemail message that you have there too or something?
I don't even know if I have a voice. Like, I have the digital one that says, you know, leave a message.
After the tone.
I do have one call that y'all told me to do. And then I did it, and then I sat and looked, and I was like, you know what? No, I want to swing for the fences. But it was James White.
So you played James White?
Was a complete wash.
You played James White, or you pulled him out?
Oh, no, I pulled him out. But who I pulled him out for didn't do me much better anyway, so it really didn't matter. Mike Williams.
Yeah, we...
Yeah, yesterday. Jeez.
Yeah, that was tough. We didn't like Mike Williams. I remember that.
Yeah, definitely.
What was your other option?
James White.
We did like James White, but man, that team's a dumpster fire. I think that's. I thought James White was going to be the only bright spot on a bad team.
Is he droppable?
What's out there?
I mean, it depends on what we're dropping him for, but yeah.
Okay.
Any kickers available?
Out there? what's his name on San Francisco? Hasty? Jermichael Hasty.
And with Wilson out, but you know what?
Coleman's coming back.
That's tough.
You may get 1 week out of it.
Yeah.
So Jerick McKinnon is still out here. He's probably the best. Everybody else is like handcuffs. Brian Hill, Tony Pollard, Latavius Murray.
Do you see Coleman? Have you looked for Coleman?
You know, Malcolm Brown.
Coleman probably has a really low point total and maybe like lower in that sea of people if you
look to scroll down. Point.
Also, Chase Edmonds.
Look for who?
A guy who's lower on that totem pole, too.
Oh, no. He's been picked up in my league. Edmonds has.
Good.
But you said Coleman?
Tevin Coleman. Yeah, Tevin Coleman.
Oh, Tevin.
He's a Coleman.
No.
Good call, Eli.
I forgot about him.
So did everybody. Oh, he's on IR. That's why he said that.
Boom. Yeah, he's coming back.
Or next over to return. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Do you have an IR spot? Y'all are genius. Because you can sometimes turn that spot into a two spot, too. A little two for
I do, but it's being housed by Austin Eckler, his bum ass.
Oh, yeah. Keep that bum ass on that IR. That's the guy you want on that
exactly.
Freaking bum.
Okay, man. So, yeah, Tevin Coleman.
This year.
Just wanted to be
my bum when you figure out it. Open for greatness to come back. Like, that's poor circumstance. Not his doing.
I just didn't get hurt, and I feel like I'm taking my Michael Thomas rage out on Austin Eckler, because I swear to God, every team I have this year is Michael Thomas, Nick Chubb, and Austin Eckler. Those are my three guys in every single league that I have.
No way.
Oh, that's my first three rounds, dude, in every single league I was in this year. I'm still maintaining, dude. I've been dancing on that waiver wire. We've been getting some W's, but once my team comes back to normal, it's going to be some nasty shit. It's going to be fun.
So I do have to throw out
there. You're definitely right.
I'm going to bring everything back to Tampa. Everything on this show is coming back to Tampa because I'm just that excited. Tampa hurt Mike Thomas. Tampa hurt Christian McCaffrey. Tampa hurt Austin Eckler. I'm just saying.
Tampa's
a point there. It's just bad. Tampa. All I'm going to say is Tampa hates your fantasy football team. That's dirty
pool. That's dirty pool, Tampa. Tampa's like right there.
Georgia's drop James White, pick up Mike Evans.
Oh, I'm going to try to go for the Mike Evans guy now. Like, Mike Evans has had enough low weeks. I'm like, you know what? I'll take him off your hands. What do you want to do? So, yeah.
He has five or six touchdowns so far this year. Right now.
Oh, he's got TDs, don't get me wrong, but he's also had multiple games where he's had two catches for 30 yards. Like, it's, you know, the Mike Evans owner is nervous right now. I think you can go get him cheap. Cheaper than you deserve to get Mike Evans.
Right.
Definitely. I heard you guys talking about James Robinson with the Jacksonville game, and it's like, I figured it was going to be high scoring, and I couldn't get how many targets did he have? 7 targets, 1 reception for 26 yards.
Right.
Good old DJ Chark.
Right. Dude, DJ
is he Chark. Droppable?
No.
He's getting there. He's not droppable because he still has a name. But the problem is
considered droppable. Is DJ Chark also considered droppable?
Okay, let's get this straight. Mike Evans is not droppable. And that's complete malarkey. That is, if someone is saying that stuff, go after everyone they have on their team anytime they have a bad week. They stub their toe, fucking the sky is falling. Get that person for nothing. Like, it's not real.
The thing with Chark is we all saw how good he could be last year. But one thing nobody talked about was sample size. He was good for a small stretch last year, right? And then they took Minshew out and put some – I don't remember last season all that well. But like he had a really small sample size last year where he played really well. And we all took that to mean he was going to break out this year. And he hasn't. And yet we still feel like the talent's there and it's just Minshew. And it could very well be Minshew, but it could also very well be that he had a really good stretch in a short amount of games. You looking it up for me, Eli?
I'm going to Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Reference. It's not all on him. Like Minshew was missing balls like crazy yesterday. They were
I didn't even see the game at all.
Everyone else was getting catchable balls, but he was like running great routes from what it seemed, and the ball was just nowhere to be found. He's getting upset by it. There's something weird happening, and yeah, hopefully it gets figured out. But I'm pulling up his catch rate now on so we can see how many balls he's actually missing.
How many catchable balls he missed is it would be a good stat if you had it. I like the guy. I drafted him early thinking he was going to be halfway decent, and I was able to turn him for him and Slayton in a second for Kyler Murray in a super flex. So I got what I needed out of him, but you know, it's just tough because he really was good for a short period of time, but I, you know, since then it hasn't been great. And again, that whole offense is awful. So it's hard to pin it on one dude, but he went from not nobody considering him to be a good wide receiver or not having his breakout to having a short breakout to being bad again. And, you know, everybody just assumes it's the offense or that quarterback. So
I'm at a position to try to figure out another wide receiver now. With as far as he's concerned, but if I got to keep him, you know, I keep him. But do I keep Mike Williams? I don't have time for Darkwell over there in the Chargers. He was literally throwing it to every. He was like Tom Brady.
Well, see, so
like Dirty Jobs. Tom Brady just wants to be Oprah with the ball. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. That's what Justin Herbert was doing. Because everybody that caught a deep ball in the touchdown was not Mike Williams.
So who's available for you to pick up?
Well, definitely Higgins, my man that came in for OBJ, who I traded away.
Go get Higgins. Go get Higgins right now.
John Brown. I'll say it again.
Go drop Mike Williams and pick up Higgins ASAP.
Okay, that'll be one. But yeah, Beasley's out here. I feel like I should drop Chark for Keelan Cole. That's why I'm asking if he's droppable, because Keelan Cole is performing better with less targets. I don't get it. I do not get it.
Yeah, I still, because the talent we've seen from Chark, it's hard. It's hard for me to say to drop him, but if Higgins is out there, man, what else is out there? Because if Higgins is out there, I worry about your league a little bit.
Do you want to hear something beautiful about DJ Chark?
I do want to hear something beautiful about DJ Chark.
Pro Football Reference is telling me right now he has zero drops this year.
Well, okay.
Zero drops. So, like, the balls aren't coming to him. It's not his fault he's not getting those catches.
I don't know. I some of that could be bad routes or, like, lazy routes. Some of that could be, you know, just because you didn't drop it doesn't mean necessarily that it's not on you for not catching it.
True enough,
the quarterback situation is bad, so it's hard to judge without watching all the snaps, seeing if he's actually open, seeing what coverage is going up against him. For some reason, my battery's low, even though the computer's plugged in, so I'm going to have to, when Mike gets back, I'm going to have to break away, or I'm going to lose everything. Actually, Al, why don't you talk for a minute so I can go see why my computer's plugged in, but this thing ain't charging. So I don't lose the show.
You got it.
So
you got it, homie.
Welcome back, Mike. You can. I gotta figure out why my computer's plugged in but not charging. So I'll be right back.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie. Me and I will run it from here. And of course our buddy Al on the line. On the line still.
You got it.
Who's your biggest guy this coming week, Al? Who are you most excited about?
Oh, as far as
for fantasy plays, who are you most excited about? Yeah.
Well, I'm always excited for Josh Allen, even though for whatever reason against the Jets, he didn't give me anything. I am willing to put my top dollar that he's going to ball crazy on New England this week. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited CEH finally got the touchdown or another touchdown by the time I was the owner of him. But now I'm slightly worried about this Le'Veon Bell stuff, you know, with a whole snow game. Thought it was going to be way more running the ball on both sides. And I know Denver has that stout run defense, but it just seems like, you know, Patrick Mahomes is still able to just throw the ball no matter what the conditions are.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what's happening around that guy. He's so good. Like, it just doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
He had one touchdown and about 20 pass attempts. I think they got half of their production from the Butterfingers on the Denver side. And yeah. I'm a Broncos fan. I was yelling at the TV, cursing up a storm. It was no good.
When he said the Broncos rush defense, did you think what defense? Because that's what I thought. And I'm a Broncos fan too. I was like,
only with the run. Only with the run. They're like Tampa Bay. Like, the games might get crazy as far as the scoring, but on paper, they say they do somewhat of the best against the run. But I wish they would also say on paper that the offense does not know how to hold onto the ball, because I was right there with you, Eli. I was like, oh my, because I thought I was going against the Kansas City defense. My opponent had them in, but he swapped them out and put the Rams back in. So I was thankful, but it didn't matter. I still lost. My best lineup, I still would have lost. I had Josh Allen, David Johnson, CEH, DJ Chark, T. Higgins, thank God for T. Higgins, Jonnu Smith, don't know what happened to him, disappearing that, Mike Williams, the kicker for Atlanta, Young Ho, I'm done with him. I hope George is still listening. George is still listening. No more Young Ho. It's a Young Ho band.
Are you switching to Old Ho?
He's done me wrong. He's done me wrong. He is a naughty, naughty little young hoe.
Or young,
naughty little young hoe he is.
Young non-promiscuous.
Exactly. Exactly.
There ain't no.
And it started off great because I had the Eagles defense. I thought I was about to take this whole week. And nope, I lost. So 4-3, whatever. I'll be 4-5. The top six go to the playoffs. As long as I stay in that little range, I'll be good.
Yeah,
I am also looking forward to Dobbins this week off the bye with Mark Ingram having an injury. Here's hoping I got me another running back because they're all dying. I got Mixon, Austin Eckler, CEH, and David Johnson.
Nice.
That's a whole bunch of it would have been good at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, well, at least Austin Eckler, he's only a couple weeks out too, right? Like, I believe they're targeting him for week 9.
The last report I saw was expect later than sooner on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the 3 weeks would have been, in 3 weeks would have been what, this next week? So yeah. Later could be instead of week 8, week 9, or week 10. But, yeah, I wasn't thinking we were seeing him for a couple more, at least.
Yeah, no, like I said, I thought that I read he was targeting a week 9 comeback.
I have a question for you guys about this Rams offense. What happened to Akers? He had a good game 2 weeks ago, and he didn't have a touch last week. I may be blind, but I don't think I've seen him so far in this game.
Yeah, I've been trying to watch. It's been Henderson and Malcolm Brown. I don't know. I don't think they expected to get anything out of Henderson, and then Henderson's been playing well. And, you know, all of a sudden that takes the need for Akers to start right away out. And I don't know. They did the same thing with Henderson last year, though. They traded up to get him, drafted him relatively early, and then didn't use him. So
it's just weird to go from a really productive game like he had against Washington in week 5. He does have a decent run defense. Their defense isn't bad. He had 9 carries for 61 yards. And since then, we haven't seen a touch. It's just odd. I don't understand.
When I said eyeball in a week,
they may be trying to preserve him.
Chubb, by the way, not Eckler. My bad. I was thinking of Chubb.
What was that, Al? Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
No. I was saying they may be trying to preserve him. You know, after everything they went through with the ever so great before Todd Gurley, they may feel like they have something at Akers, and then like you guys said, excuse me, Henderson is performing at a better rate than maybe what they expected, so there's no rush to put Akers in, so they can pretty much play off of Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson right now, and then save Akers for the next wave, probably next year. Just, you know, that's just my thought, because it does. They talked a lot about Akers, and then when the season started, all we really saw was like Brown and Henderson. And since then, that's pretty much all we've really seen. And he did have a good game, but maybe they're like, you know what? Running backs are falling left and right with no preseason. You know, the whole normality of the season is just not there. So maybe they just want to preserve young dog for future games to come.
Interesting. I don't remember seeing too many second round picks ever treated this way, where they're going so slow and easy on them.
Well, I mean, to be fair, J.K. Dobbins is kind of going through something similar. I mean, I know being behind Mark Ingram, but hell, even when Mark Ingram got hurt, Gus Edwards got the bulk of the carries. It's not like they rushed to throw J.K. Dobbins in. Now we'll find out this week. They had a bye. We'll find out this upcoming week to see if that stays the same. I don't think it does. I think you give the ball to Dobbins, and then you give the ball some to Gus Edwards like you were before when Ingram was in. But, I mean, we'll see. And Swift, before the last two games, it's not like they were giving him the ball a lot. So the only guy we've seen take a lot of the workload, the only two guys, is CEH and Taylor, and it hasn't worked out well for the Colts. He's done okay. He's not doing great, but he's not doing badly. And CEH is getting a ton of work, but now Le'Veon Bell's there, so we'll see. Hey, look, I got the mute on before I sneezed. Look at me. And then I had to mention it. So professional take giveth and taketh away. So, it's just weird with this rookie class that we thought was going to be so good. It's like multiple running backs in the top five aren't getting a lot of the work.
Well, and I mean, if you look at it like rookies and how rookies build and how rookies develop and things like that, it's very, very rare that a rookie comes on the field and just dominates. You know, I mean, this is a hard thing going from college to the NFL. We're talking about, you know, like getting your driver's license when you turn 16, and then the next day you're going in and now you're in the Indy 500 and you've better, you know, now you got to win the Indy 500 on top of it. So, I mean, it's a lot to ask out of a guy to get out there. The linebackers are decent in college, right? But they don't have the speed, and they don't have the closing, like, say, the cornerbacks do. Like, say, an option works great in college. Why doesn't it work in the NFL? It's because you've got corners that are, you know, 4 flat 40s, and they just get on you so fast, and they can collapse on you so fast that you just aren't, you're unable to get the option out there. You've got too many people against you too fast. And I mean, that's just kind of what these rookies have to look at. I mean, to me, you got like Saquon Barkley, you got Ezekiel Elliott, and that's about the only two guys that have stood out even in the past few years that are decent rookies that transitioned immediately to the NFL. Even CEH has his moments, you know, like he's just now starting to figure out how to score. It's just not something that, I mean, and this guy was scoring machine in college. So looking at like how these guys are developing, it makes a lot of sense to me. This is why I try to avoid a lot of rookies in the draft when I can help it.
You're muted.
Especially this season when you're talking about rookies that didn't get a preseason. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, and thanks, Eli. I appreciate you calling out that I was muted. I've done that.
We were enjoying the show, but just thought it would be bad.
I like inserting my own words.
No, that's fine. I'll keep here. Let's do that. I'll mute myself and you can know. I know exactly. I know some of the stuff you'll say. We'll just it's gonna be more undercarriage talk.
Wise decision, my friend.
All right. So Foles is going deep and completely missed a wide open receiver. Is Trubisky playing? Is that what we're doing here?
Not yet, but I don't think there's a cure for this. I don't know if you could throw whoever the heck you want back there that they have available, and it's just not going to be much better. They need to get better talent. They need to get somebody that can actually play football back there, and Mitchell Trubisky is not that guy. Nick Foles, when you game plan against him, to me, there's not a worse quarterback in the league. You know, like he gets out there. He doesn't know how to audible. He reminds me of a lesser Derek Carr. Like Derek Carr used to be really good, but like once you start game planning against him, he gets really easy to beat. Like he stays in games and stuff like that, and he's actually looking really good this year. He's actually looking like he's developed a lot as a quarterback over the past 12 months for the first time in his career to me. And I see a lot of that in Nick Foles, where you get up there and you just don't make any decisions. You just get up there and you run the play, you run the play, you run the play. You don't get up there and you sit there and think, okay, this guy's going to do this, this guy's going to do this. You know, like your Peyton Manning's deal, your Tom Brady's, where they'll walk up and they go, this guy, I know exactly what the defensive scheme I'm looking at. These guys are just going up there and running plays. I mean, and that's not how you be a quarterback in the NFL, and it proves it. It'll eventually catch up to you every time.
Yeah, it's tough, man, because, like, how much better could they have been if they had picked Cam Newton up?
Right.
I don't know. He's only rushed so far this year. He has, what, 3 passing touchdowns all season? That's pretty rough.
Yeah. I think Jameis Winston would have been a better option for Chicago than at least Nick Foles. Not that Jameis Winston is any good, but at least he'd be a guy that hucks Allen Robinson the ball a whole lot more, which might give him. And then we're sitting here talking trash on the Bears. They're what, 5-1? Like, they're a winning football team.
They beat the Bucs.
Yeah, they're getting the job done. So, I mean, you can't really talk too much trash on them. They're just not getting the job done for your fantasy team.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we are. Oh, go ahead, Al.
I was going to say, they just got to. Foles just has to form that connection. I don't know why when Foles went to the Bears, they felt the need for it to be a QB competition. That's stupid. It's Trubisky or Trugoski. Shout out to George. It was no competition from the beginning. It's Foles. He's the best QB we've ever seen because he keeps coming out behind another QB and just outshining everyone that's in front of him. So they already should have had him there, so that way they could have been building that wide receiver QB rapport. So now that he is out there, let's see what happens in the second wing of the season. Now, if it doesn't translate and he turns out to be like a Tom Brady over there and he just wants to give it to everybody, then, you know, oh, well. But that is the type of shit I hate about fantasy, where it's like, okay, you sit there, you read all the summer talks, all the summer camps, even though the less amount we had this year, but you think, all right, Trubisky, he has to go to Allen Robinson. And then, boom, what do? Switch from Trubisky, go to Nick Foles. We don't know who Nick Foles' receiver is, his favorite receiver. We don't know who he was practicing with, none of that. So let's see what happens the second wing. Nick Foles is not a bum, and he's definitely performing better than Cam Newton right now.
Nick Foles is kind of a bum.
Nick Foles is a bum. To me, I've never liked Nick Foles. I liked what he did for Philly. I thought he was one of the best backup quarterbacks in the game for that reason. But to me, he's just not a starter. Yeah. He doesn't have the IQ. He doesn't have the IQ to be a starter. I just don't think he has it.
It's possible. But with his football IQ and his QB ability on the Bears with their coaching staff, they're doing better than the New England Patriots with Cam Newton, their coaching staff. And I would have to say maybe their defenses are a little similar, or at least playing a little similar this year. Chicago's defense is better on paper.
I mean, you also gotta say, like, their offensive weapons are better on paper. Like, that's a thing you gotta talk about with when you talk about New England right now. Julian Edelman and who?
Damian Harris.
Right? Damian Harris, Sony Michel, both misses. Like, N'Keal Harry, right? Like, do any of those weapons scare you at all? So, you know, we're talking about a team where Tom Brady covered a lot for a bad team, made a bad team better. They were also playing the Jets and the Dolphins twice a year. The Bills have only been good here recently. So it's not like they go in every year with a tough, like an NF or an AFC North, you know, we got to play the Ravens and the Steelers twice each, or, you know, NFC South where the Falcons were good, the Panthers for a while were good, and the Saints were good. You know, you don't have that. You have the Jets and the Dolphins. And you know, the Dolphins have gotten better this year, but they were atrocious last year, and they've been atrocious for a decade. Like, New England has been a victim of their own success. They keep winning because they had Tom Brady and they played in a bad division, and it never made them face the fact that that team was falling apart and devoid of talent. And we'll see. Belichick is a great coach. We'll see how he is as a GM to rebuild a team now that he doesn't have the greatest quarterback of all time. Tampa Bay, great Tom Brady.
TBGB.
Michigan, great Tom Brady.
Michigan, great. That's right. He did go to Michigan like 80 years ago.
Hey. Back when Gisele Bundchen.
Not 80.
80 years. I feel like he's been in the league since I was a small child.
Back when Giselle was in diapers.
Back when Giselle was in.
Oh man.
So is,
you know, guys, so, we've got, yeah, an hour and 10 minutes.
Should I drop James White for Carlos Hyde if I can get him?
I think I would. I don't have a lot of faith in James White. I'll basically drop him for anybody at this point.
Well, you were
Embiid.
I would take Tevin Coleman over Carlos Hyde, though.
Oh yeah, no. Okay, that'll work. I'll definitely be able to get him. So I'll drop James White for him, and I'll drop Mike Williams for Rashard Higgins. Probably won't get Higgins.
Wait. You said, I thought you said T. Higgins, not Rashard Higgins.
No, I already have T. Higgins.
Oh, yeah. Don't drop Mike Williams. Who else was available? I thought you said T. Higgins. Eli's making a face because I think you thought same thing, right?
I wouldn't drop Mike Williams. You have Herbert coming like crazy, throwing 300 games. Mike Williams just had a big game last week. You're not always going to have the big shots and two touchdown games, but I would much rather have him on my bench than have him on the roster up against me when he has those big games.
So I think the thing that we're seeing, okay, and listen, I hope I'm wrong. I think the thing we're seeing is Herbert is going to be a really great quarterback in this league. And he's doing, I'm not saying he's Tom Brady, but he's doing Tom Brady things where he keeps hitting guys. You have no idea what their name is because they're open and on the field. And he doesn't care if it's Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, John Smith from Publix. Like, he didn't give a shit who he's throwing those. What was that tight end he threw a touchdown to?
There was Virgil Green for the second one when he had the nasty.
Who was the first?
The first,
right, but who was the first one?
John Peoples?
It might have been.
Beyond me.
I'm just saying, like, he's doing those things where what you want to see out of a quarterback, he's throwing to guys who are open and not caring about names. And, you know, that's great when Mike Williams is your only deep threat, but they've got a couple other guys that are extremely fast and really talented. I don't know. I'm okay dropping Mike Williams. I know Eli's not.
I wouldn't be dropping him now.
Yeah, no, I like a lot of pieces of that offense. I want a lot of the violent pieces. Jalen Guyton, did you guys mention him on there? Like, because he was another guy that scored.
Yeah, it was Guyton.
Yeah,
he had two receptions for 84 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, Guyton. Baby.
Then it was the tight end that got injured. Looked like he really messed his ankle up. He had
Virgil Green.
A touchdown.
Virgil Green. And then that's awesome.
Parham.
Right, Parham. Who?
That was the one.
So, that's fine. Herbert's playing out of his mind. That guy's he's gonna be a really good quarterback. Like, I'm not saying anything nobody else is saying, but like, I wonder if Miami saw what Herbert's doing and said, "Look, we better get Tua out there so we can show off what we drafted." So he don't look so bad, because they should have taken Herbert. Look at Michael yawning.
No, that was a big yawn too. I was just thinking about Justin Herbert dreaming.
Dreaming?
Dreaming Herbert.
Do you want to help him get out of the tub?
I do.
So nobody else saw this because it was in the private chat, but Mike's girl is extremely pregnant, and he had to go away for a minute to help her be a gentleman and help her get out of the tub. So that's where that comment came in.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Congratulations again, homie.
Yeah, thanks, man. Hopefully here pretty soon. Hopefully here pretty quick.
All right, man. So I've tried to a couple times. We've gotten into a couple better discussions, but I'm going to wrap this thing up. We've been an hour and 12 minutes. I know Chris wants to get on here and do the great debate. And as much as I'd like to irk him and stay on here, I feel like if we do, Mike's going to fall asleep. And listen, we talked about it Friday night when I was going to fall asleep. If Mike falls asleep, we all just shut our cameras down and let it go until Mike wakes up. See how many viewers we can get for Mike falling asleep.
It ought to be awesome. I'm a hell of a sleep fighter.
So for me, I'm at BFTG Jason. We got at Dirty Jobs 21. Al, why don't you give out your Twitter and talk about your podcast real quick?
You got it. It's your boy DJ Please. DJ underscore PL3AS3. And then you can tune in. That Ain't This Podcast. DAT Ain't This, you know, spelled the regular way. Had to be different because, you know, it's all kind of people out here on the internet hating. But no, that's me. Appreciate y'all. The Sleeper Wire. Make sure y'all tune in. Friday nights, AMAs. Monday nights, watch parties. Sunday, the Blitz. The Mail Sack. The whole week.
All week long, baby.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're here for you all week long. We got shows pretty much every damn day of the week. Saturday we rest. We're a little bit different than God. That's okay. We'll let him have Sunday. We'll take Saturday. Eli shakes his head more at me than I think, you know, than anybody else. He you can tell Eli hadn't been on a show with me. So pretty much anything.
The private chat has me looking at seeing a chiropractor, man. I'm just constantly shaking my head at that. So.
Yeah. So just think out there. If this is what I say on air, imagine what I say off air. And then come tune in on Friday night, because that is where all of that stuff comes out. It's kind of like, so George and I used to do a show. We kind of still do it sometimes, called Break from the Grind. In season, we don't do it because we're on these shows so often. But Friday night AMA has kind of become a Break from the Grind with a little bit of fantasy involved. So come check that out. It's a good time. We just hang out. We talk. It's not a lot about fantasy football, although if you want to do that, we can too. So anyway, closing this all out, I was going to play Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, but I don't know how to do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and good luck and have fun the rest of your week.
Good luck. Good night.
Take care.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect.